Good morning, Kim.
Morning.
Now, look, back when we kicked off talking about political correctness, I think it was way back in the 70s, it was actually about respect and inclusion. You now hear the term as a disparaging term more than anything else these days. Where have we gone wrong? Like, I mean, is it impossible to be polite and honest?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's used as a bit of a dig these days. We might call ourselves... Somebody might call themselves progressive or liberal. They tend not to use the title politically correct. It tends to be thrown as a bit of an insult, yep. a little bit of a dig. Where have we gone wrong? It's a big.
Do you just unpack that for us now, if you could, please? Yeah.
So, look, I'm sure you guys have been talking a lot about 18C in the recent inquiry that had just been tabled.
Certainly have.
So, I guess there were three desired outcomes for that particular law. Some people were hoping it would be left as is. Some people were hoping that 18C would be completely repealed. So that's words around offending, insulting, inciting violence, so saying anything or doing anything that might cause those sorts of things. And then there were others that were hoping that only part of the language would be repealed, and that would be the comments or the need to... Let me start again with that. So some people were hoping that we would keep everything as is in terms of inciting violence, but would repeal the words around offence and insult because that's so subjective, it's hard to measure.
That's the argument. Sticking point,
so
isn't it?
The outcome was that nothing's going to be changed. and some people are very upset about that. You mentioned right-wing people and their issue with political correctness. So I think there are lots of spokespeople that have spoken out about political correctness. It's the subject matter of many publications and news broadcasts, particularly for conservative media. And there's a sense that if we can't say anything, no matter, you know, if I have to watch what I say in case it offends or insults someone, then we can't actually have honest discussions about policy because they're usually about very sensitive and complex things. So that's the worry from that point of view.
That always fascinates me because I'm sure you can actually have a respectful debate about controversial topics without it offending, intimidating, humiliating or insulting somebody, surely.
That's the argument on the other side. of course we can have discussions and of course, you know, to even have useful and helpful discussions, there needs to be limits on what we say because otherwise we're not going to get anywhere if we're just hurling insults at one another. But I think the issue, it's a little bit more nuanced than that because we see today lots of no-platforming protests and we see public shaming of individuals who might have transgressed a social line, or they might not have, they just might be someone that's not popular for whatever reasons or fallen out of favour. And so there's an idea there that the protest against offensive speech has gone too far, that the things that have been taken to be insulting are some people would say, too sensitive. And so there's a concern that that's what's actually stopping public debate about anything and everything. It's less so people calling each other really nasty names and saying things that we should know hurt other people, you know, like picking on, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, racist, misogynist things that people could say to one another. It's the less obvious stuff that, you know, any kind of normal thinking person would know about, and the concern's more about the things that people might not know about through just, it could just be their general knowledge of the world. They haven't been introduced to these ideas before. It could be that they genuinely don't understand and need someone to sit down and explain it to them. And I think this is where our debate is. We're trying to pick up on this idea that, so the motion for the IQ2 debate, which is coming up on Tuesday, is looking at political correctness, and it's asking if political correctness has failed itself. So the idea is, and I don't know the answer to this, and hopefully the people taking part in the debate can shed some light on it, but the idea is in an effort to create a better world and to, you know, encourage people to watch what they say and watch how they behave, it's actually gone too far, and the tactics to try and encourage people to curtail their speech have kind of verged into a bit of a nasty space. And this isn't obviously speaking for everyone whatsoever, but you see it on Twitter in the name of human rights. People make death threats and you think, is that really the right way or effective way to go about encouraging people to be better people? And so we're asking, you know, have the proponents of political correctness actually failed their own cause?
It's an interesting one because, of course, political correctness and all this debate gets tied up in Australia with the wonderful two words, free speech. Yes. And of course, that's its own issue in Australia, having no kind of constitutionally mandated free speech available to us. But one of your speakers, of course, Chris Kenny, surprise, surprise, he's on the far side of political correctness, has failed itself. I mean, he's proven that even in a world of free speech, you can't say just anything, can you?
Well, in Australia, there is really no such thing as free speech. It's very different to America, where it's a constitutional right. In Australia, we do have laws around what we can say. Some people think that's a really good thing. You know, Stanley Fish many, many decades ago wrote a book called There's No Such Thing as Free Speech, and that's a good thing. And I think a lot of people probably... I'm sort of trying to speak generally of the Australian population, probably think that there should be limits. I mean, you'll often hear people say, I believe in free speech, but, or I believe in free speech, except, and we'll go on to say, except for, you know, if it's really going to marginalise someone or if it's going to cause, political unrest of a great scale. You know, that's not a fringe view.
Oh, Kim, it sounds amazing. Look, it's happening, when do we say? Tuesday the 28th from 6:30 p.m. Tickets still available?
They are, and it's at Sydney Town Hall, which we're very excited about. So you can come and have a drink in the lovely vestibule beforehand. And one of the cool things about the IQ2 programs is you can get involved. We actually, there's a Q&A toward the end where the audience is encouraged to ask questions of the panel. And that's sort of one of the most fun bits. So we really like it when people come along and bring their voice into it as well.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Kim, it sounds amazing. Looking forward to more stuff from the Ethics Centre. Thanks for chatting this morning.
Thanks, Nick.